All right, you can take your Bibles tonight. You can go to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 1. Tonight I'm going to share on the old versus the new. The old versus the new. And in 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Right? Not just grace and favor and peace, but all things that relate to a godly life. And how does that happen? Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Right? Through a knowledge of God. Whereby, through that knowledge, we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers or take part in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Right? And the word great there means large, imposing, or immense, right? The promises of God are large, they're imposing, they're immense. And precious means worthwhile or valuable. The value of these is that we take part of the divine nature, right? We partake in the divine nature, having escaped corruption. And the Word of God refers to two natures throughout, the old man nature and the divine nature. The old man nature is what every one of us was born into. Everyone has it, right? When we came into this world, that's what we had, the old man nature. The divine nature is what is given to all who are born again, right? And not everybody has that. That is only to people who are born again. So each birth comes with a nature, right? Our regular birth, our natural birth, we have an old man nature. And because of a divine nature, or because we're born again, we have a divine nature. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And that's part of the great and precious promises given to us through a knowledge of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And the were is past tense, right? You were that way. Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, referring to the adversary, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Right, so who's at work when it comes to the old nature?
Yeah.
The adversary. That's right, the adversary. Among whom also we all had our conversation or manner of living in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just like everybody else, even as others, right? That's who we were in times past. But God, who is rich in mercy, for the reason, his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, or made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? So God made us alive together with Christ. He saved us through grace. This is our divine nature, raised up together with Christ. Right? Are we up there sitting in heaven right now? No, we're all sitting here, looking at me. Right? But that's the way that God sees us, right? Our divine nature, the way that God sees us, is seated together in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Right? Like we're already up there. That's the way that God sees us. That's our divine nature. Right? And that's what God wants for us. Right? He wants to fellowship with us. He wants us sitting right up there with him. And the adversary wants people all screwed up. Right? He wants, you know, people to be, they're referred to as the children of disobedience, right? The children of wrath, right? That's what God, or that's what the devil wants for people. He wants them all screwed up. He wants them in a place where, you know, it's disobedient and wrathful and chaotic, right? And God wants us sitting up there right with him. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Right, so our divine nature, we're raised up together with Christ. We're not dead in trespasses and sins. That's the old man nature. And 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New. Right? When we got born again, we received spirit, a new creation within. Right? The old man is just body and soul. Right? Fulfilling the desires of our flesh, body, and of our mind. Right? Body and soul. But we have Holy Spirit now. The new creation is spiritual, right? That's the difference. When we got born again, we received a new creation within, right? No longer dead, but alive, right? God wants to make a very plain and specific comparison between the old and the new, right? One is old and crappy and awful, and one is new and awesome and terrific, right? One is of God, and one is influenced by the adversary. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 39. Right? So God wanted to give us a way to get out of that whole mess that we were in with the adversary. And that's the new birth, the new nature. 1 Corinthians 15, 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Right, so God is making all these different comparisons throughout. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Right, just like all these different comparisons, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is what? Spiritual, right? So God's making comparisons throughout. between the old and the new, right? Our new divine and spiritual nature far exceeds the old natural one, right? That's the point he's trying to make. Sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power, right? Those are the huge differences between the old and the new. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. And he wants to make it clear that there is two different things. An old versus a new. A natural versus a spiritual. And one is way better than the other. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the senses man, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Right? Our true divine spiritual nature is not of the world. And the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit. Right? It's foolishness unto him. Right? If he's not born again, none of it makes sense. He can't receive the things of the Spirit. He doesn't have Holy Spirit. It's not part of his nature. Right? But with our spirit, our new nature, we can, right? We can know those things. We can receive the things of God. We can discern those things spiritually because we have Holy Spirit, right? We have Holy Spirit. Romans 6, verse 1. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to be able to make those determinations. He wants us to be able to discern things spiritually. He wants us to have that direct communication with him. That's what God wanted for our lives from the very beginning. Right? It's not of this world. It's a divine nature. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we also should walk in newness of life. Right? And so God is saying, you know, now that you have a divine nature, now that you are born again, now that you have Holy Spirit, right, God exhorts us to walk in newness of life, right? To leave behind the old stuff and to walk in newness of life. That's the exhortation that he gives us. How do we do that? Romans 12, verse 1. Right? He's given us this divine nature. He wants us to walk in newness of life. In Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Right? Don't continue to walk the way the world walks. But be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, put to the test, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, right? So it's a decision to walk that way. It's not automatic. It's not like, oh, you got born again, and now I am perfectly spiritual all the time, and I think spiritual things, and I'm never sinning, and I'm always Dr. Spiritual, right? That's not how it works. We have Holy Spirit, we cannot lose it, but to walk in newness of life requires a conscious decision to renew our minds to God's Word, right? And it's a continual thing. right? We always have to bring our mind back to the Word to walk in newness of life, right? It's like a renovation, right? It's like there's a renovation going on inside your head to make it walk the way that our spiritual, our new nature would have us to walk. Go to Colossians chapter 3. And that's because you don't lose the old man nature when you get born again. It's not like it just goes away. You have to make a conscious decision to walk in newness of life, or else the old man nature starts to creep back in. Right? And the old man nature is the corrupt one. It's the one that tells you you can't do it. It's the one that says you're not good enough. It's the one that says God's not going to bless you. Right? Because that's what the adversary wants. In Colossians 3, verse 1, it says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection..." Things you really care about, the things that are important to you, right? That's your affection. "On things above, not on things on the earth," right? You have to decide to do it. You have to renew your mind. You have to change what's important to you to be the things that are above, not the stuff on earth. That's the stuff that you were in forever, right? That's the old man nature junk. Verse 3, "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." Right? The real you is going to come out. The real you is going to come out when he returns. "Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now," that's past, "now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds," right? And that's the renewing of the mind, you know? As best as you can, stop doing those things, right? That's what he's teaching here. Stop doing those things. "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him," right? We put off the old and we put on the new. And that only comes from a knowledge of God and his word, right? "Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." The spiritual knowledge that we get from the word of God is what we want to put on. We want to manifest Holy Spirit. We want to operate the nine manifestations. We want to walk the way that God would have us to walk. And that's in newness of life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. There is a day coming when Christ comes back where we won't have to do that anymore, right? We'll have brand new bodies. We'll have perfectly renewed minds, right? The old man nature will be a thing of the past. But until then, we have to renew our minds to God's word. Ephesians 4:17 says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth, from this point forward, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind," right? Thinking they know it all, thinking they're the smartest thing in the world, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart," right? Because they thought they knew it all. Right, so they were ignorant of God because they thought they already had it figured out. But that didn't, all that did was darken their understanding, right? Instead of being super smart and wise and figuring it all out, their understanding was instead darkened because they lacked a knowledge of God. 19, "who being past feeling," right? They were beyond feeling, right? That could read callous or without shame, They were calloused. They were without shame. They were beyond feeling, having given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all in cleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, the former way of living, the old man way, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of what? Your mind. Renew your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God, who according to God is created in righteousness and true holiness, right? So again, God exhorts us to put on the new nature, right? His exhortation is that we put on the new man. We put on this new man. And not only does he exhort us to do that, but he goes on in the rest of the chapter to tell us how to do that, because that's the way that God is, right? He wants us to do something, he's going to tell us how to do it. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another, right? Don't lie, speak truth. Be angry, passionate, fired up is the word there. And sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, right? So it's okay to get fired up. Just, you know, be cool about it. Don't sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil, right? Don't give him an area or a foothold to get into. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Don't try to take shortcuts, right? Get to work, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. We work so we can give. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, right? Which are words contrary to the truth, words that tear down. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, right? Be someone who builds people up, who edifies them, who says nice things about them. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Right? Put it away with malice. Like, really chuck it as far as you can chuck it. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you, right? So, in comparison to letting the bitterness and the wrath and the anger thrown out all away and replacing it with kindness and tenderheartedness and forgiveness, right? Because God forgave us, right? He forgave us. That's the practical instruction of how we're to put on that new man, how we're to walk in newness of life. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1 again. All right, so God wants us to know and understand that there is an old man nature. Right? He doesn't want us to be ignorant of that, but he wants us to also know that we can renew our minds to the word and thereby walk in newness of life, right? We don't have to walk according to that old man nature any longer. It's still there, right? Until Christ comes back, we're not getting rid of it. But we can walk in newness of life by renewing our minds. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers or take part in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Right? We are to give all diligence to this. besides this, giving all diligence, add to your believing virtue or power, and to power knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience or perseverance, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or the love of God in renewed mind and manifestation. That's what we're to give all diligence to, right? To believing, to power, to operating power, to a knowledge of God and His Word, right? To being patient, to being temperate, to being godly, to being kind, and to loving. For if these things be in you and abound, right? If you do them diligently, they're going to abound. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind, right? Which means, well, he's blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins, right? And that cannot see afar off or blind means that he loses sight of the big picture. He that lacks these things, he can't see the big picture. This is addressed to people who are born again, right? So they have the new nature. They all have Holy Spirit. And he's saying that if you lack in the walking of these things with all diligence, it's like you can't see the big picture anymore. You forget that you were purged from your old sins. And you're right back to living in that old man way, right? That's what he's trying to say. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election what? Sure, which is the word proven or steadfast, right? So rather, brethren, give diligence, right? Do those things with great diligence to make your calling and your election proven or steadfast, right? And that's referring to that new nature, your calling. You do those things and you make it sure, you make it steadfast, you make it proven. For if you do these things, you shall never, what? Fall. And how cool is that? What a promise from God, right? That if we walk in that new nature, if we give diligence to walking that way, right? We do those things, that we're not going to fall. That he's going to prop us up and hold us up and make sure that our walk is a sure walk and a steadfast walk. Not one where we fall or we stumble, right? That's what God wants for us. So he, you know, explains that that old man nature is there. It's something that we've got to renew our minds to, you know, not walking that way any longer. And then as we put on the new nature and we put diligence towards walking the way that he practically instructs us here and in Ephesians, that, you know, we'll be sure, we'll be steadfast, we'll be proven, and we won't fall.